Infamous pharmaceutical CEO Martin Shkreli is in the news again this week, and once again, it's for nothing good. Shkreli was arrested by federal authorities in his Midtown Manhattan apartment and charged with securities fraud, all related to his previous gig as a hedge fund manager. But before any of that, Shkreli got infamous, mostly on the internet, for his role at Turing Pharmaceuticals. Shkreli acquired the company, then raised the price of a drug called Daraprim 5,000%, from $1,350 a dose up to $750 overnight. Shkreli defended his practices to CBS News in September.
The drug was unprofitable at the former price, so any company selling it would be losing money. And at this price, it's a reasonable profit, not excessive at all.
Shkreli was cast as a villain long before his arrest last night. But everything he did with Daraprim is perfectly legal, and it's a trend that other drug company executives, none of them as well-known as Martin Shkreli, have been doing for a long time, boosting the cost of what were before inexpensive drugs. Joining us is Dr. Josh Sharfstein. He's professor of health policy at Johns Hopkins University. He's also the former principal deputy commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration. Dr. Sharfstein, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Daraprim is a generic drug, of course, and those are supposed to be way less expensive than name brand drugs because those patents have run out. I think we all understand that. It's an old drug from the 50s, so how did Martin Shkreli do this, make it so expensive overnight?
Well, you're absolutely right. What's happened over the last few years is that fewer and fewer companies are making individual generic drugs. And then at the same time, a group of other companies have decided that there's a way to make money by purchasing the ability to make the drug, by finding the sole manufacturer of some of these generics and just jacking up the price to whatever the market will bear.
But if somebody like Martin Shkreli, and again, we should say he's not alone, if he jacks up the price, why doesn't someone else just come along and undercut him and say, well, there's no patent, we can make it too, and we'll only charge $20 a pill instead of $750?
I'm sure there's some companies that are working on doing just that. The problem is you just can't decide on Monday to be the competitor and Tuesday be in the market. The way that the generic drug market works is you have to prove to the Food and Drug Administration that your product actually is equivalent to the other medications and that the patients will be treated appropriately. And that is an application process that takes time. And unfortunately, the FDA has been quite backlogged recently. So basically, these companies are taking advantage of the approval process. People really hadn't seen this coming. So the price goes up on one day, and it may be a couple of years before a competitor can get on the market.
So it's the most egregious case, Dr. Sharfstein. But look, we decided a long time ago that this is a free market country. Lots and lots of stories have been told about expensive pharmaceuticals, whether they're brand name or generic. So if we want to have a system where we don't set drug prices, where the government doesn't say the price is 50 cents a pill, then, I mean, this is what you get. It's okay to hate Martin Shkreli, but he can do it.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I think that there's a fundamental difference in the pricing of the new drugs that are coming on the market and these old drugs. For the new drugs, there's an important discussion to be had about how much it costs to actually do the research to develop the drug in the first place. And the companies that are selling them generally are the companies that did put in a lot of money to make drugs that can save lives. In the case of these generic drugs, there's no actual intellectual or research investment. It's purely a business strategy. And the strategy is to spot a generic drug where there's only one manufacturer, buy that manufacturer, and just see how much money you can make and do, you know, whatever with the money. That's not something I think people think is fair.
Is there another potential downside here as well, though, I wonder? I mean, do we want to constrain the generic drug market? Promoting generics is hard enough, you know, especially with all of the political power of the name brand pharmaceutical giants. If we make it harder on generic companies, even though there are egregious cases like this, can we injure an industry that we eventually need, that we ultimately desperately need, to keep healthcare costs low?
It is very important to support the generic industry, and I think the correct policy response is not to say, well, I guess we should allow some people to take advantage of a brief monopoly situation and just fleece everyone for no good reason. I don't think that's the solution. I think a better solution is to think about how to get the generic market to work more effectively, how to get competitors on the market more effectively. So I'll give you an example. One idea that we've been talking about is the idea that rather than just have a long queue of generic applications, FDA should push to the front of the line those applications that would address a monopoly kind of situation like this so that there's a much a shorter period between the time a company wants to be a competitor and the company can get on the market. That promotes competition and promotes a healthy generic market.
Another thing that Martin Shkreli did here is he bought up the entire supply chain, as I understand it, so that he controlled every pill. And that meant if another company, as they have the right to do, wanted to buy the pill so they could copy it, which is all you really do in that business, they couldn't even get a hold of it because he didn't have to sell it.
It was a disaster for patients. I mean, let's just be clear. We had a patient who couldn't get the medicine, and they weren't answering the phone over the weekend and was suffering. The patient was suffering from significant effects, including not being able to speak. I mean, so you can see that when you permit a business strategy that has no value for the market, no value for the public, then it's not an abstract problem. People who are suffering are really harmed.
Dr. Josh Sharfstein is professor of health policy at Johns Hopkins and a former principal deputy commissioner at the FDA. Dr. Sharfstein, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.